Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This is Reasons to be Cheerful with Ed Miliband and Jeff Lloyd.
Happy Christmas!
Happy Christmas!
Except it's only the 20th of December for many of our listeners.
Well, it's fallen funny for us
or the
this
19th.
Year because Podcast Day is Boxing Day, so we needed to get this out before Christmas.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'd be after the event. It'd be anticlimactic.
Yes.
It's our Christmas party. Come on, a bit of festivity, yes, a bit of energy.
Yes.
People who listen to this podcast think, I would love to invite Ed Miliband to my Christmas party.
We're getting people in the Christmas spirit early, aren't we?
Exactly. Now, before we get started, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you not stopping?
What does that mean?
Oh, it's a northern expression, yes, when somebody doesn't take their coat off.
Oh! It's because the House of Commons is in Portcullis
House. You know
we're
not in the House of Commons.
No, I know, but...
in my attic.
I've just got into the sort of habit of wearing my coat.
I think you're a bit nesh.
I think that's definitely true. So people will be listening to this from the 19th of December. I want to sort of get this exactly right.
Yes.
So you're listening from the 19th of December.
Yes. We're here,
yeah,
to give you festive momentum through this week as, yeah, you hurtle towards the day itself.
Bit of fun, bit of frolics.
Well, usually what we do is we have a Christmas party. We invite a couple of guests. Yeah. We play a board game from Ed's youth called Class Struggle, yes, which is a Marxist version, yes, of Monopoly. Now, that board game is on loan to the British Museum, I believe.
I think it is, actually.
So
I think it's gone back to the original owners, probably.
Oh, I see.
Yes, maybe.
So this year we decided to do something different.
Yes.
What we're going to do is pull Christmas crackers.
Yes.
But inside the crackers, it's not going to be a paper hat and a pun.
Or a dice.
It's going to be a message from a friend of the pod.
Yes. And we've got lots of friends. Well.
So it would seem.
We've got some friends. This was your idea, which I must say, I was cursing you 2 days ago, I must say, because I thought I was going to be a pain in the neck saying to people as they're trying to get ready for Christmas, can you send me a message? But actually, I managed to deliver 4 messages. I want the scores on the doors to be known. I think I'm on the leaderboard, aren't I? I'm 4.
I think currently Rachel takes gold for number of
does
messages.
Does she? What's she at?
Rachel's at 5.
Rachel's at 5.
You're at 4.
And you've got the wooden spoon.
I'm the bronze. But I'm very hopeful that I'm going to get another one in before the end of the recording.
So joint, so we'll both be on the sort of silver podium together.
Exactly, yes.
Silver medal podium.
Huddling for warmth.
Yes.
In our thermal underwear.
Yes.
And everything, yes, else, not just the thermal,
exactly,
underwear.
Exactly.
Yes. Shall we pull our first Christmas cracker?
Yes.
Okay. Grab hold of one end and let's see who's inside cracker number one.
It's Dan the lifeguard.
Dan the lifeguard from Ed's pond where he goes, yes, swimming. Strong start.
Right, reasons to be cheerful from 2022. Not as easy as it should be, this, but I'll give it a go. Speaking as a North London boy and a Spurs fan, watching Arsenal implode and Spurs nipping in to get that coveted fourth spot for the Champions League places, that certainly made me cheerful. Watching Arsenal do so well and kick on this season hasn't made me so cheerful, however. But anyway, moving on from that. As far as the pond's concerned, it's just getting busier and busier. It's great to see so many people coming along and enjoying it. But it does present challenges in dealing with it. Always a tough old summer, long, hot summer. But I was really happy with the way everyone got stuck in, did a really good job. And that was certainly a reason to be cheerful, seeing everyone work really well and help facilitate, you know, people just enjoying the pond safely. As for next year, we'll see what that brings, but we'll see how we go for now. Cheers.
Oh, my goodness. I feel genuinely excited that I now know what Dan the Lifeguard sounds like.
That is Dan the Lifeguard.
He doesn't quite sound as I imagined him. I thought he might sound a bit like Brian Blessed.
Interesting. Interesting.
But he sounds lovely.
I thought maybe me being at the ponds might be his reason to be cheerful, but maybe that makes me a mad egotist.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you come on the podcast every week and you tell all these stories about how you really rush to the rescue of Dan with your Zapper when their thermometer isn't quite doing the job.
Yeah.
In comes Ed. Yeah. You talk about the great conversations you have with him.
Yeah.
And
I'm featureless, aren't I? I'm not featured.
You're irrelevance to him. It didn't even occur to him.
No. It was 4.1 degrees in the ponds.
According to their thermometer?
No, I think my Zapper said 4.6. But that's because that's the surface of the water there. It's a bit deeper.
Yes, you've explained this at some level on many occasions.
And so then I did say, I've got this podcast, Dan, and you're a feature on it. And he's like, yeah, I have heard that.
Did you seem uncomfortable when you said that?
So I think he did really well, didn't he? Let's pull another cracker.
Hi, Ed and Jeff. It's Nadia Sheikh from the Right to Roam campaign. My reason to be cheerful this year is the overwhelming public support we've had for the Right to Roam over the past couple of years as the campaign's been up and running. And the knowledge now that, you know, although there are practical things to get over with land access, you know, how do you do it? How do you make it reality? You know, the majority of people are longing for access to hills and woods and rivers. People are crying out for it. And as an ornithologist and a nature lover and being in a biodiversity crisis, it's also heartening in the knowledge that all of the greatest nature kind of movements and the foundations of our legislation and nature protection policy have been because of people who have spent time in nature and love nature and fight for it. And knowing that more people want to spend time in nature and that everyone I know that spends time in nature also wants to protect it, it means that nature is going to have a bigger voice. So that's my reason to be cheerful. I'm very, very hopeful and optimistic that we will win the Right to Roam. Have a lovely Christmas and New Year.
You're a nature lover, aren't you?
Yes. And do you know what? Even more so after some of the conversations we've had on the podcast this year. I loved that episode. It really was one of my favourites. I remember Nadia talking about the kindering colour and about this whole issue of the countryside feeling accessible to everybody. I love that. I remember being shocked by some of the statistics. It was something like, I think 8% of land and 3% of waterways in England are accessible to the public. That's it.
I want more waterways. We want the waterways to be clean as well, which is a whole other bag of mashings.
I think we got an episode on that as well.
Didn't we? Did you notice my bag of mashings expression?
What bag of mashings?
Have you heard of the bag of mashings?
Tell me more.
Diane, who has worked in my office heroically for 17 years, uses this phrase quite a lot. She introduced me to this phrase at my office.
Oh, is she the one with the haunted look of somebody who's been around you for 17 years?
No, she is not. Bag of mashings.
Mm.
A mishmash, a sampling of all things in a given group. It's just all a mess. That's the way Diane used it anyway.
So if something's kind of a disaster on all fronts, you call it a bag of mashings.
Yeah, yeah.
Can it ever be a positive?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Diane's never said to me it's a good bag of mashings.
I'll tell you what else I remember about that episode is just
how great Scotland does.
I mean, no bag of mashings in Scotland. It's one of the best right to roam laws in the world.
Have you become more nature oriented as your years have advanced?
Well,
I think I have, actually.
I think you definitely have.
We went for a walk the other day with Dylan the dog. You know, Dylan the dog who's replaced Chutney somewhat.
Yes, yes.
Chutney was fictional.
He's a real dog, Dylan.
Yeah, he's a real dog, Dylan. I mean, he's such a lovely dog, honestly. It's just something very calming about taking a dog for a walk.
Mm. Tell you what I don't enjoy about nature.
What?
Going over a stile. I think there's a lot to go wrong.
I think you've got style.
Right, let's ignore the pun and pull another cracker.
Hello, this is John Harris from The Guardian here. I've got two reasons to be cheerful from 2022. First, the protesters, women in particular, in Iran, whose bravery and dignity is amazing to behold, and proof that people's demands for freedom, self-expression and human rights can make it to the foreground, even when they're living under the most authoritarian regimes. The second reason to be cheerful is a bit closer to home. In the midst of the cost of living crisis, I've been visiting community organisations responding to people's hardship in amazingly creative ways. The best example is a group called Ambition Lawrence Weston, who are on the edge of Bristol, and they're building this country's first community wind turbine. They'll sell the electricity it generates and use the money to cut local people's bills. The clunky old state can't do this. It's an inspirational thing to see, and it'd be great to see more things like it in 2023.
They're good reasons to be cheerful, aren't they?
Definitely. It's interesting hearing somebody of the left talk about the clunky old state. Mm. And it shows how that thinking is changing. And you hear it a little bit with the Labour Party now talking about the giving away of power at the election. But that's really something that we have discovered time and time again throughout these 5+ years of the podcast. That devolution is often a part of the fix to things.
I also think there is something really interesting about this community energy idea, because my cliche now, which is not yet a cliche, it's cheaper to save the planet than to destroy it.
You're trying to make it a thing, aren't you?
I'm trying to make it a thing.
When you walk down the street, are people shouting it out at you yet? Like when people see Peter Kay and they shout garlic bread, is this happening for you? Are people shouting, I've forgotten it already, cheaper to do it than not to do it?
Save the planet.
Cheaper chips to save the planet than to destroy it.
But, you know, it's the great promise. It's the thing. It's one of the things that has made me optimistic in 2022. Kingsmill Bond, who I think we're going to feature on next week's episode in our top 10, his analogy is fossil fuels are horses and renewable energy is the car, and we're in 1920 and the horses are at their peak. If that's true, and I think it is true, and renewable energy is going to get cheaper and cheaper, then particularly for communities in need, people feeling that cost of living crisis, cheap renewable energy is a great answer. So I'm really interested in visiting that project. And I think what he says about Iran is, and maybe that doesn't get enough coverage, the women and the protests in Iran.
Yeah, I've seen a bit about it, and it's humbling to hear about those women, and also inspiring the solidarity from different women's groups and faith groups around the world.
Thank you, John.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Ed. Merry Christmas.
Wow, it's the Christmas cracker I was hoping for. Rebecca Taylor, a.k.a. Self-Esteem.
My reason to be cheerful in 2022, which I just had to ask if that was this year or not, is loads of stuff. Obviously, I've had a riot laugh, haven't I? It is very nice to have got to a place where I finally don't feel so stressed out by my lack of career. That's nice. But also Uno, the game Uno. I've figured out that's the perfect way to calm me down. Have you ever played Uno? If in doubt, Uno can pull me back from the edge of a meltdown. And as now I have a, now I'm a world-class famous pop star, I have more meltdowns than ever, and Uno has become integral in the avoiding them department. This is weird. Happy Christmas.
What a treat for Rebecca to send us a message.
What a treat it was for Rebecca, is what you're saying.
Obviously. Do you know she was on our episode when we did podcast from Abbey Road some years ago?
I do know.
And she posted a photo on social media of you and her, cropped me out of it.
She didn't.
She
did. Cropped.
I was in the photo. She showed it to me on the phone when she took it. When it was posted on social media, I was reduced to just the hint of a shoulder.
That is absolute genius.
But I was able to use it as leverage to get the most talked about musical artist of the year to send us a message for our Christmas episode.
Now, honestly, on the subject of Uno.
Yes.
Are you an Uno player?
I've never played it, no.
Oh, my goodness. My kids are big fans of Uno.
Really?
We went through a big Uno phase during the pandemic.
And were you particularly competitive?
Well, I'm competitive about everything, yeah.
Take it you'd never let them win.
No.
Do you have any Uno strategies you could pass on to Rebecca or anybody else?
What are my Uno strategies? There is one sort of really left field Uno strategy, which is if things get quite bad for you, as in you've ended up with lots of cards and have got no chance of winning, you basically go for trying to pick up as many cards as possible so you can have either a shuffle hand, which allows everything to be put back, or even better, a switch hand, so you can do massive dumpage on somebody else. So you basically have like 15 cards. You've got to get rid of all your cards, and you know, that's the aim. So you end up with 15 or 18 cards, and there's some poor soul that's got two left, and you just then do a switch hands. Do you see what I mean?
None of it makes any sense to me.
Oh, right. Hopefully it'll be helpful for Rebecca, but she won't be listening.
She's had a Brit nomination this year, a Mercury nomination. Her performance at Glastonbury was the most talked about of the year. But I think this is probably the real highlight, getting Uno tips from you.
Do you think she'll crop you out of the version she listens back to? We should send her a cropped version.
Right, let's move on. Shall we pull another cracker?
Yep.
Hi, Ed and Jeff. This is Oliver Berkman. I came on your podcast to talk about my book, 4,000 Weeks, among other things. This is probably eccentric, but when I think about this question of reasons to be cheerful about 2022, my mind immediately goes to all the appalling and terrible things that could have happened and that didn't. I find that this perspective can really buoy me up. You can start just with all the things that people thought might happen in 2022 and didn't. You know, for all the horrors of the war in Ukraine, a nuclear weapon has not been used. For all the horrors of the cost of living and the energy crisis, there have not yet been rolling blackouts lasting hours or days affecting millions of British householders. For all the ongoing impact of the coronavirus pandemic, there has not been a new pandemic virus that is 10 times deadlier. And you know, if you start with all those things that people predicted could happen but didn't, your mind then quickly moves to all the other things that people didn't even predict, right? A sort of effectively infinite number of terrible things that could have happened to each of us and that didn't happen. So unless a jumbo jet landed on the roof of your house this year, in which case this is going to be a bad example to use for you. No jumbo jets landed on the roof of your house this year. And there are obviously then, you know, thousands upon thousands of other things that could have happened that didn't. It's cold comfort, of course, if this is a year where something especially bad happened to the person listening to this. But for all of the rest of us, where any given year is unlikely to be the worst year of our lives, I think it's really helpful to think in this way, because it refocuses your attention on how grateful for and happy about one, you know, you can feel just about just ordinary days, mundane days when kind of nothing much happens. They can have a sort of beauty in them that comes at least in part from understanding all the ways in which, you know, terrible calamities didn't occur. Thank you.
Well, that's quite profound.
It is, isn't it? So on one hand, you can't be Pollyanna-ish.
No.
You can't use that way of thinking to be complacent. But on the other hand, I really think it says something brilliant about the way we catastrophize, especially the way that the media and maybe social media's algorithms favor this, is giving undue prominence to worst case scenarios.
It's hard to live your life like this, though, isn't it?
Yes, but I think there's an analogy.
Well,
isn't there?
I think it reminded me a little bit of his book, yes. 4,000 Weeks, which we really enjoyed, didn't we? He's not saying wake up and be grateful, is he?
No, but he's not. But he's also, I think a lot of us, especially if you're of an anxious disposition, spend a lot of time spiraling and catastrophizing about a terrible situation, which isn't that likely. And you're not controlling the situation.
And the thing is, though, you're never grateful, though. He's got a point, which is that you're not then grateful when the situation doesn't happen. You just move on to
you find the next one.
What is the remedy for that, though?
Well, I think it's what he says, isn't it? It's trying to... It's the biggest cliche in the world, isn't it? But living in the now.
I've come to the conclusion, through years of therapy, that that one of the ways out of these catastrophizing is to step outside the detail of the particular catastrophe. In other words, you've got to try and think about it as a pattern of catastrophes that don't happen, not as is this catastrophe going to happen? Because your brain will always find a way of concluding the catastrophe might happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But if you can see that for the last 30 years, you've just thought about spent lots most of your life worrying about terrible things that never came to pass.
Yeah, exactly. That's a more succinct way of putting it.
And again, with world events, it's not about burying your head in the sand. But no. I think there's this thing that we've talked about before on the podcast, an addiction that the media has to ever more dramatic news storylines. And part of that is ramping up the worst thing that could happen rather than the most likely thing that can happen.
Interesting. Should we pull another cracker?
Let's do it.
Góðan daginn. This is Halla Gunnarsdóttir from Iceland.
Ah, it's our friend Halla Gunnarsdóttir from Iceland, who worked for the Icelandic Prime Minister.
We love Halla.
And my reason to be cheerful in 2022 is the return of the hug and the handshake. It was predicted that the COVID shutdowns might permanently change how we interact with each other. Yet, the hugs and the handshakes had a swift comeback the minute they were considered reasonably safe. Human interaction is what makes us human, and our common humanity is essential to build the solidarity we need to tackle the challenges of this century. Happy New Year.
Ah, I love that one.
It's fantastic, isn't it? The return of the hug and the handshake. I have to say, I prefer a hug to a handshake.
Really?
Don't feel like you're judged on your handshake.
Maybe.
I once shook hands with a posh person and they said, I can tell what type of school you went to.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Nick Hewer, do you remember him?
Of The Apprentice.
Yes. He said that I had the weakest handshake in Western Europe.
No.
Apparently. According to the Daily Express in 2011.
Ever since that person said that to me, I've become paranoid about my handshake. And now I think I shake people's hands as if I've got one of those electric buzzers.
Some people have said to me, I've got very strong hands. One person said to me, well, you nearly broke my hand.
Well, maybe you're overcompensating. Oh, yeah, that is firm. You got big old hands there, Ed.
I know, but let's just.
Do you like the double clasp that people sometimes do?
But is it one or two kisses?
This is why the hug is superior.
Which is three? Is three kisses?
No kisses.
Which is the country with three kisses? The French are two kisses, yeah? Famously.
Kiss etiquette is something they didn't teach us at school. Did you go to a Swiss
three
finishing
kisses,
school?
Belgium, Slovenia, Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Egypt and Russia.
Is this what they're teaching you at a comprehensive in North London?
No.
Did you go to a Swiss finishing school?
This is what I'm finding on the internet.
Did you go to one of those schools where you learn how to balance a book on your head?
In his new book, One Kiss or Two, In Search of the Perfect Greeting, career diplomat Andy Scott speculates on the origins of the cheek kissing tradition.
No kisses. Like, have we ever kissed each other? No. Will we ever kiss each other? I hope not.
One kiss, Colombia, Argentina, Chile, Peru, the Philippines. Two kisses, Spain, Italy, Greece, Germany, Hungary, Romania. Why hasn't they got France in here?
It's a lot to remember.
Anyway, Hattler's got a... But basically, Hattler's right, isn't she?
She is as well. And it also says something about people are hungry for some form of real connection.
If we'd been here a year ago, which we weren't, but I think we were still remote, we would not have believed that we would have moved on so much from COVID, would we?
No.
Should we pull another cracker?
Yes.
I'm Michael Marmot.
It's health inequalities guru Michael Marmot.
And I was sitting in a community hall in Newport in Wales when a colleague of mine from the UCL Institute of Health Equity sent me a message. And she said, I'm so disappointed. I'm having reverses all over the place. Government policies all moving in the wrong direction to improve health. And people are not listening to me. How do you keep going? And I said, I'm here in the Gwent region of Wales that wants to be the first Marmot region of Wales. Chief executives of five local authorities have just declared their commitment to becoming a Marmot region, which means taking action on the social determinants of health. And I said to my colleague, just reflect how far we've come. In 2008, we published the report. I chaired the Commission on Social Determinants of Health. And we said on the cover, social injustice is killing on a grand scale, and that we want to establish a social movement for greater health equity globally. Since then, we've done regional commissions in Europe, in the Americas, in North Africa, in the Middle East. In the UK, Coventry became a marmot city. Greater Manchester said we'll be a marmot city region. So what's happening nationally may be adverse from the point of view of improving health and reducing health inequalities. But there's real commitment right across cities and regions in Britain. That's why I'm cheerful. That's why I keep going.
So that's really interesting, isn't it? Whatever you think about national government, he's saying in lots of areas of the country and indeed across the world, people are taking these issues which he's campaigned on, thought about, written about for a long time, they're taking them seriously. And that
must be incredible after his life's work, because he did this review years ago and it wasn't implemented. And then to, at this stage of his life, see people taking up those ideas and using them to make a difference.
Definitely.
Yeah. I remember being really struck by that episode. I think I said at the time, Sarah's parents live in an affluent suburb. And if I look at just the state of health and fitness amongst her mum and dad and their friends compared to like my aunties and uncles up north and life expectancy, it's really, really stark.
Look, it's one of the biggest injustices there is, not just life expectancy, but they call it quality life years. I think that is really, really important. Look, the other thing why devolution is so important is because it then opens up these other centres of power. You see what's happening in Wales. You see what Andy Burnham is doing in Greater Manchester. Other mayors like Tracy Braben in West Yorkshire. There's just quite a lot of this going on, quite a lot to be inspired about.
And I'm really pleased for him that he's got these marmot regions now.
Yeah.
I'd like some Jeff zones.
Oh.
Lloyd localities.
You think it's got to alliterate?
Not necessarily.
Jeffocracies? Like, you know how the Swiss have cantons?
Yes.
Jeffons. Yeah, we're a Jeffon.
Yeah, I'm into it. Yeah.
Okay, Jeffons.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's pull another cracker.
Hello, Jeff and Ed. It is Michael and
Davina
from the world famous award winning, we haven't won an award, but nearly award winning podcast, Making the Cut. And we're going to share our reasons to be cheerful with you right now.
If you can hear sheets rustling, it's because we're in bed.
Yeah.
Which is one reason to be cheerful. But my main reason to be cheerful, I think definitely this year, I think 2022 feels like it has been the year where the enormous tanker that feels like it's been in the ocean that's been desperately trying to turn of the menopause and people's attitudes towards it and the fact that we need to talk about it and bring it more out into the open, it feels like that tanker is turning. It feels like there is a shift in attitudes and thought processes around women in the workplace and around women at home and around hormone replacement therapy. That is a really positive one. And I am really, really, really pleased about that. And I intend to do lots more work around that next year.
And that is a reason to be cheerful.
It really is,
not
yeah.
Not just for women, but no, for everyone.
For everyone. Yeah. Totally agree.
And mine is a bit more self-indulgent, I would say. My reason to be cheerful in 2022 is that I launched a business. It launched in October. It's a business I've been trying to launch for, I reckon, about 20 years, yes. To be honest. And not only has it launched, it's done really well. And it has made me very, very happy. And very, very cheerful.
And so, I am, can I just quickly add to that? Sure. That I am enormously proud of you.
Oh,
my God. I'm so, you're amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. That's another reason to be cheerful.
Yeah, and I hope there's lots of other reasons to be cheerful for your listeners and followers.
And love to you both.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
it's Michael Douglas and Davina McCall from the Making the Cut podcast. I think that's the only one we've had where they've admitted to being in bed. I mean, I've got my suspicions about
it. I mean, that is true celeb, Jeff.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to get on that silver podium with you.
Well, I think so, because you get some bonus for that.
And she has been, I don't know how much you follow these things, but she's been really active the menopause conversation this year.
No, it's been really good.
Book,
it's
documentary.
Been really good.
We were just talking about health inequalities, stuff around women's health inequalities that we talked about on an episode a while back. And I wonder if menopause would be a good episode for us, actually.
Yes.
Because it is weird that here we are in 2022 and it only just feels like something that people are
what's
talking
that thing
about
in the House of Commons
way?
Where these where male MPs had these jackets for them to try on as if they were having the menopause. The vest was developed by Over the Moon, a group that provides advice on menopause to companies and individuals.
Wow. Did you try one on?
I didn't know.
Is that why you've kept your coat on today?
No, maybe we should do it for an episode.
Yeah. And what's really interesting about Michael is he's invented a hairdryer, right?
Yeah.
But in the olden days, you would go to Boots and ask, please, can you stock my hairdryers on your shelves? And now he does it all himself over Instagram. Made me
what
think,
does his hairdryer do?
Well, I feel like we'd be doing an infomercial told you. But okay, it's like it's a leap forward to what you're using.
I mean, you know what it made me think of?
It's inspired you, hasn't it?
Long-standing idea.
Make your own
start
sandwich.
Your own business.
So instead people
were sceptical.
Yeah. Michael's stuck at it and he's having great success with it. So
lots
what
of
about,
people being contemptuous about it.
But this is what I'm saying. You were in an old school mentality thinking that you need a physical location. What if you taught people to make their own sandwiches on Instagram?
What's the business model?
Do you just do it and then figure out the business model after you've spent all the investors' money?
Hmm. Should we pull another cracker?
Let's do it. It's Steph Brobby, Chief Executive of the Good Ancestor Movement.
Hi, Ed. Hi, Jeff. It's Steph from the Good Ancestor Movement. My reason to be cheerful is that my colleagues and I, in partnership with Saïd Business School at the University of Oxford, hosted a conference which brought together wealth holders, private wealth advisors, civil society and academics to interrogate wealth in society and the role of private wealth advisors in supporting or hindering a much needed transition to a just and sustainable economy and a fairer society. Together, we spent a day listening to hard truths about the challenges we're facing globally, extreme wealth and inequality in the UK, why we need tax justice and why reparations matter. We reflected on current practice in the wealth advisory industry and its role in perpetuating extreme wealth accumulation and tax minimisation. And we had wealth holders sharing their candid experiences of coming into wealth, either through inheritance or entrepreneurship, how they see their responsibility as wealth holders to reject the idea of accumulating more than they need for their own families, and instead paying fair taxation and advocating for progressive tax reform and ensuring that they use their resources to advance shared prosperity and abundance for all. It was the first gathering of its kind and felt very risky in the sense that we weren't really sure what to expect, what the dynamics would be, given that essentially we were holding a mirror in front of an incredibly powerful and influential community. But it ended up being a deeply moving and powerful experience of connection as we created the conditions for everyone to lean into our collective humanity and show up with a posture of humility while having a really important conversation about wealth and society. I think through that powerful experience, we've created the foundations needed to galvanise action, which will lead to systemic change. We will keep you posted. Have a wonderful Christmas and all the best for 2023.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we feature the Good Ancestor Movement, Patriotic Millionaires on the podcast.
Yes, Steph was one of my favourite guests this year. And I think I said at the time, I went into this subject thinking, is thinking too much about philanthropy, just tinkering around the edges. But I was completely sold on it because a big part of the work that Steph and others are doing is educating wealthy people about what their wealth is built on. Now, you might think, well, they should know that. But, you know, as humans, we have a tendency to overestimate our own role in things. And I think it's especially good work because wealthy people do have a disproportionate share of voice and influence. Yeah. And if you're shifting the narrative of wealth, that's a phrase, the narrative of wealth.
You never thought you'd be using that 5 years ago, did you?
I didn't.
Welcome to Nerdsville, Arizona.
But it's there's some contagion, hopefully, that comes from that.
Yeah. I think contagion of the narrative of wealth.
I'm in Wonk World.
You're in Wonk World. Wonk World, Wayne's World. I think it's easy to be cynical about this. Oh, you know, it's easy for them to say, but it isn't actually easy for them to say because lots of wealthy people don't say, we think we want a fairer society, we want less inequality, we believe in a progressive tax system. You know what I mean? Mm. So I think it is really laudable that different groups are doing it. And as you say, it's not about charity, it's about justice and the way they are thinking about it. Another cracker?
Yes. It's Ronno, John Ronson.
Happy Christmas to Jeff and Ed and everybody listening to this. I'm John Ronson and my main reason for being cheerful in 2022 was how the election deniers in the midterm elections were all roundly beaten and millions of people who'd voted for Trump in 2016 realised that they'd touched the stove and it was too hot. And look what happened just last night as I record this. Elon Musk went on stage at Dave Chappelle expecting to be, I don't know, not roundly booed for 10 minutes by 18,000 people who just wanted to demonstrate what I think a lot of people feel is that we don't want to be dragged back into this world of not knowing the difference between truth and bullshit. So that's my reason to be cheerful, I think, when it comes to that kind of misinformation, that kind anyway, maybe we're turning a corner. Happy Christmas. God bless you all.
Oh, John Ronson.
What a guy.
He's got such a soothing voice.
He has got a soothing
voice. I think he could do Book of Bedtime on Radio 4.
Yeah, he could do one of his own books.
Yeah. Just thinking back to what Oliver Berkman was saying about the things that didn't happen. One of the things that could have happened is the Republicans could have got all these election deniers into office in November, and they didn't. And also, I listened to Pod Save America, as they always say, how many times have they said, is this it for Trump? And you've got to be really careful about saying this is it for Trump. But Trump has got a lot of problems, legal problems, political problems. That doesn't mean that Trumpism has gone away. It doesn't mean that Trump's gone away, but he's got a lot of incoming, as they say.
Mm. And the Elon Musk thing as well.
Yeah,
Dave Chappelle's audience isn't Nish Kumar's audience. And it says something that he's not sitting well with people either. I wonder if this age of all-powerful tech bros is passing as well.
There's much more skepticism.
Can you think of the last time that there was one person with a technology that was that disruptive? Because they were all doing it in the early days.
Oh, I see.
It's much more crowded, so it's much more difficult for one person to acquire that much power I think.
Well, anyway.
Another cracker?
Yep. It's Aisha Hazarika.
My reason to be cheerful is more a reason to be grateful. And obviously it's quite timely with everything that's going on. But earlier this year, my father was very ill. He came to visit me in London from Glasgow and had a sort of, you know, heart attack situation. And he ended up in King's Hospital for about 3 to 4 weeks. It was a complete shock. And I was incredibly upset and it was a very stressful time. But the people who cheered me and my mum up no end were the amazing, amazing nurses at King's who were just so kind and patient and cheerful when we were not, you know, as sort of family members, we were bewildered, tired, exhausted, grumpy, you know, not very cheerful. And they were just so brilliant. And I particularly remember a male nurse who was so patient with my dad and many of the other men who were in the cardiac unit. A lot of the men, the older male patients, were quite confused about what was going on. They kept trying to, you know, take off all their wires and get up and put their clothes on and go. And he was so good with sitting with them and chatting with them and kind of making them laugh and have wee jokes. And with everything that's happening now with the strikes and the industrial action, and you just see how nurses are working so hard and now getting vilified, it just makes me very sad. But I do look back at that time, and if it hadn't been for those amazing nurses, I don't think me, my mum or my dad would have got through that period. So that was my big reason to be cheerful in 2022. Those nurses turned a very dark, sad moment into something that we got through. And it's amazing what goodwill and a cheery attitude and a big smile will do. I mean, sometimes that's sort of more powerful and medicinal than all the drugs in the world.
I think that was so nice. That's such a nice message. I think there's something quite uniting, actually, when you think about lots of the messages we've heard. I don't want to sound just too banal, but sort of compassionate kind of world. I was thinking about it as I was listening to Aisha. It's a sort of, it's the anti-Twitter, isn't it?
Yes.
Compassion, kindness.
Yeah, because the algorithm doesn't favour compassion and kindness, does it?
No.
So you don't see that stuff.
A bit like reading certain newspapers convinces you the country's full of kind of bad people, but that's so far from the truth. Twitter can convince you the country's full of lots of angry, nasty people, and that's far from the truth.
Yeah. I was really struck by the gratitude in Aisha's message as well, because it's a difficult time for their health service and interactions with it aren't always easy when it's under so much stress. Made me think of my mum as well, because she worked on a coronary care ward. When I was little, I used to go and visit her there, and she would give me, in those days, ECGs, which, remember, they were drawn on rolls of paper?
Yeah.
And when those were finished, she'd give them to me to draw and colour in.
My aunt used to work on ECGs.
Really?
Analysing ECGs, yeah.
Yeah.
Next.
Oh, it's David Lindo, the urban birder.
Hi, Ed and Jeff. It's David Lindo. I'm also known as the urban birder right here. And my reason to be cheerful about this year is the fact that I've managed to be able to spend a lot of time in this wonderful country called Spain and away from the madness in England to watch some amazing birds and also to eat some great food as well. So I am very happy, and I wish you all a great Christmas and a happy new year.
Wow, the urban birder.
In Spain. And he sent us a video, actually, so we can see he's in a Spanish village and we could hear that it was raining there.
There weren't many birds.
And I also thought the rain in Spain fell mainly on the plane.
Oh, clearly not.
Clearly not. I loved that episode. The episode's about nature. Of course, it's important in terms of biodiversity, but also it when we do those episodes, it feels like breathing in fresh air.
Totally, like mushrooms as well.
Yes.
I mean, not like breathing in mushrooms, but like, like, just for the clarity. Do you think we should go bird watching together?
I do remember the urban birder sort of extended an invitation, but I think it was very contingent on you joining us. I don't think there's much interest in the urban birder just taking me birding.
Maybe we should. Do you think we should do urban birding, or do you think we should go mushroom picking or pickleball playing, or all three at the same time?
Right, another cracker.
I think it's the last one.
I think it is. Oh, it's comedian and man on a fast track to becoming a national treasure, Tom Allen.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Ed. It's Tom Allen here. My reason to be cheerful is that I've just bought a new hat. Yes, that's right. I've decided I'm going to start wearing all manner of hats this winter. And I think that's a reason to be cheerful for you and for me. Anyway, bye for now.
Now, I've got a confession to make, which is, I don't really look good in a hat.
But you do often wear a hat.
Do I?
I see you in your helmet.
Well, that's the dot hat.
But you're still spending a portion of your life in it, so presumably you're thinking...
But that's more for sort of safety rather than aesthetics.
Are you thinking of the aesthetics at all?
No.
What colour is your hat? Is that red?
Yeah, but it's just...
I assume that was for campaigning reasons.
It wasn't really. It was... Well, I do like red, but I don't think I've ever found a hat that really quite works for me.
Well, you had sort of Benny from Crossroads hat for a while, didn't you? Did it have an American football or baseball team on it?
Oh, yes, and I've actually got a... I've got a rather fetching orange hat here, actually.
Pop it on. Let's see it. It's especially fetching over the headphones, I think. Because you had a theory that a beanie hat renders you unrecognisable for a while.
I did go with my son Sam to something, and I was wearing a baseball cap, and it did take the edge off the recognition thing. Mm. As you know, I quite like the recognition thing, but it made it slightly less uncomfortable.
But you can always, I guess, flip between wearing it in the incognito way and then if you want to be recognised, turn it backwards or sideways.
What hat do you look good in?
A tricorn hat, I think.
Maybe a sort of a cap, a flat cap.
Ed, I feel you're stereotyping me as a working class northerner there.
No, I think you just...
I think you see me as a Lowry painting.
No, it suits your face, I think.
I'll tell you what I like is...
A trilby doesn't work for me.
Not a trilby, no. I like a wider brim than that. A Panama hat. So not a fedora,
yeah,
but a nice wide brim.
What about one with the corks, sort of?
Like Crocodile Dundee?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we're heading to stereotypes.
Yeah, that's maybe not the one for me.
No.
I'd be interested to see Tom Allen in a hat because he has a magnificent head that I don't think should be covered.
So what hat do you think I should wear then?
Make it about you. Tom took the time to send us this nice
message.
Yeah,
okay, well.
You know, he's got a book out. You enjoyed his first book.
I do, I really liked him. Yeah.
Tom has like this 1920s style to him. I could see him wearing, you know, the white silk scarf, top hat. Top hat is what I could see Tom wearing. But I don't know if I could see you in a top hat.
No, I think not. Well, what kind of hat could you see?
Russian hat.
Yes, well, my late friend Leo Panich, I got his one of those hats.
That comes down over the ear. Yeah. This is the hat for you.
But that's not...
It's not going to do anything to dispel the red head.
But that's a sort of sentimental hat.
But I also think it would suit you, genuinely. I'm not
What's
just saying that.
What suit me mean, though?
It'd frame your face nicely.
Interesting.
Well, I think we've pulled every cracker in the box.
We have. It's been a joyous...
Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
Here's what it feels like to me. The last scene of It's a Wonderful Life when all the townsfolk come in and rally round the Baileys.
It's a Wonderful Life well enough. Ed. Sorry. Just revealing my ignorance once again.
What can we say it'd be like that you would relate to? It's like when Jim Callaghan spoke at the Labour Party conference after the winter of discontent but then saw all his front bench stand up and support him and... Did that happen? I'm just trying to give you something you can relate to.
Maybe it's when, you know, Harry Kane unfortunately missed a penalty and everybody rallied around him.
Are we the Harry Kane in this scenario?
Yeah, but I did. But are we Jim Callaghan in this scenario?
Or George Bailey?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Anyway, it was nice. It was all sort of, it was kind of nice.
Should we finish with our own reason to be cheerful for 2022?
Yeah, what's your reason to be cheerful for 2022?
Social media.
Oh.
So, obviously, we've spent a lot of time on the podcast talking about how terrible it is and how it's caused all this division and disinformation. But for reasons I won't bore you with, I'm spending a lot of time on neurodiversity social media at the moment.
Yeah.
And the amount of people who are making sense of their own brains and finding a sense of community and identity and just explaining things to other people and supporting other people. It's really beautiful. And that's just one thing that I happen to be digging into at the moment. And I'm sure that is true of any community that you can think of.
Is that on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram?
I would say Twitter and TikTok are the two where I'm seeing it the most. So that's me. What's your reasons to be cheerful?
My reason to be cheerful is my family.
Ah,
Justine, Daniel and Sam.
You've made me look bad now for not saying my family.
That's why I made you go first. I feel very lucky, particularly as my kids get older. It's sort of even more important to be spending time with them. That's the thing I feel most cheerful about in 2022.
Well, that's lovely and very Christmassy.
Yeah. Well, can I just say, Jeff, I also feel very cheerful to be here with you in person for the first time in 3 years.
At Christmas, yes. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Hugs and kisses.
Just hugs. No kisses.
Yeah, hugs and handshakes.
Yes. Oh.
Hugs and handshakes to you and all of our listeners.
And their kin.
And their kin.
And their kith? What is a kith?
I don't know.
Just the kin. Let's just play it safe.
Well, is it two kithes or one?
Thank you and a Merry Christmas to everybody who brings you the podcast every week. Rachel Barmer, our content producer. Emma Corsham, our audio producer. Joe Kenyon at Goldfish, who supports us in all this. Gail Lofthouse is our Christmas narrator, the nativity. Ed Seed composed the Christmas music. James Deacon decked the halls with boughs of holly. And our Christmas cards were made by
Henry Cull.
He's been Ed Miliband.
He's been Jeff Lloyd.
And these have been
Christmas
Reasons to be Cheerful.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.